course, criminals go where their victims are. And in this case, we've found a series of innovative attacks primarily designed to pierce the trust ecosystem, pierce that friend list, that buddy list, where if they send you a link or a video, you're going to take action because it's coming from a friend. And their ability to pierce that trust ecosystem has really led to some very sophisticated attacks, and our predictions are that those are going to continue through 2010.
Well, give us an example of an attack like that, how it might work, what you might see on your Facebook account or something like that.
Well, absolutely. Let's call out one of our Cybercrime Showcase Award winners. We gave out some awards, some to the good guys, some to the bad guys, but the most innovative award went to Kubeface, which is a worm which attacks social media in a very innovative way. What they'll do is via some method, they'll get a hold of your social networking credentials, your username and password. Once they do, they log in, and then they start automatically, in a Gatling gun style, sending links to everyone on your buddy list, everyone on your friend list. Here's a new video of you.
Yes, I've had that happen to me.
Absolutely. And when you click on it, a bunch of things might happen.
Viruses come. That's what happens.
Yes. And in many cases, it says, oh, we'd really love to play this video of you, Jane, but we don't have the right codec or the right flash player, or you've got to download this little piece of software. And, of course, what you're doing is you're just opening your security doors wide, and when you download that codec, you're actually downloading Kubeface, in which case they'll log your credentials and they'll hop on your buddy list and they'll tell all of your friends, here's a video, here's some pictures.
So the message would come into the message centers that all of these social networking sites have.
Exactly.
I see. So it's similar to the old attacks, in other words, in which they would take over somebody's address book. In this case, they take over your LinkedIn list or your buddy list or whatever the case might be.
Exactly. And in this case, it's even more nefarious because when you're looking at that social media portal, you can see quite clearly it truly is your friend, your buddy, your acquaintance. It's not just coming over the transom out of the blue like an email. So it tends to really increase people's likelihood to fall prey to these criminals.
And how do they get your credentials in the first place?
A few ways. One, which is really quite sad, is some people just have terribly weak passwords. We've done a bunch of analysis when there have been major password breaches, and the number of 123456 or common first name passwords means that the criminals are out there guessing them all the time. And then, of course, if they can ever plant malware, malicious software on your PC, they'll normally sit there and watch what you type into the social networking sites, and if they find a username password, they'll exfiltrate it, put it in their database, and then figure out the next 10 scams to use with your identity.
So the benefit in this is eventually, I'm assuming, financial? Is there some attempt then to get your passwords to your bank accounts or credit card numbers? That's the eventual goal, right?
That's one of them. In other cases, they're simply going to use this entire infiltration of social media to sell things. They will plant software that tries to sell you things on your PC. They'll use this social network to advertise things, and people are much more likely to see these advertisements. And then, of course, they'll also do data theft for financial purposes as well. It's kind of a multi-headed, kind of a hydra of a problem, because once they have the information, the criminals will divide up their various attacks, and you can see kind of a whole plethora of attacks coming out over time as the criminals figure out ways to monetize this toehold that they have in social media.
Now, federal agencies are stumbling over themselves to figure out how to use all these social media. I think some of the management's not quite sure why, but it seems like the thing to do. As a security manager or someone in charge of a program, or maybe you're a network manager within an agency, what tools or practices can you put in place to guard against this kind of thing?
Good point. And I do want to make clear, Tom, that it's really important to understand that just because there's a threat out there doesn't mean we should all run and hide. Internet email has had lots of spam and viruses for years. My answer is not to destroy all my email accounts and go back to snail mail on the phone. My answer is to embrace the technology but find out ways to make it more secure. So in that regard, one of the most powerful weapons you can have is user education. If your users understand there are these threats, just because it's coming from a buddy and it looks a little funny, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's your friend. That's number one. And then number two is really to assess your own posture. In some cases, if you are a very public-facing organization, You absolutely have to embrace social media, which is what Cisco's done aggressively. Of course, on the other hand, if you are a more of a three-letter acronym, the importance of you embracing social media is probably much less, and in that case, your risk-reward equation would come out with a very different answer.
Well, though, and let me reintroduce you, this is Patrick Peterson, Cisco Fellow and Chief Security Researcher at Cisco, talking about their 2009 annual security report. There is great movement toward getting, you know, a government section, a government, Facebook section. As a matter of fact, they're having a garage here in Washington, D.C. in about a week. And so you now have a government list, and someone infiltrates that and sends this message out and then gets a worm into the government computer. That's a whole horse of a different color, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. But again, I just see this as a continuum where we innovate, we come up with great technologies, great ways to collaborate, great ways to solve problems. If they're successful, the bad guys are going to follow, you know, whether it's email or the internet or social media. So I truly believe that the returns and capabilities of social media, be they on the public ones for certain purposes, reaching out to constituents, or a government only for collaborating on most more closely held environments, is well worth the investment. And again, I think our challenge in the security community is let's make it secure, but not just to avoid use of these very valuable tools.
And what are some other headline findings in the annual report that Cisco just released?
Sure. So we put together what we call the cybercrime ROI matrix, the return on investment matrix, to really predict what are the areas that criminals are going to be investing in aggressively in 2010. That's what we got to watch out for. And beyond social media, which was really the number one finding, the second one was the rise of the data-stealing Trojans. Now, in particular, in the report, it was Zeus and other financially motivated data stealers. They steal your bank account credentials and steal money and send it overseas. But we're certainly going to see those same types of techniques to steal data from people's PCs becoming even more widespread in the government space. And that was our second major finding from the report.
Wow. All right. So how do they get into that mix? I mean, how are they gaining access to that information?
There's a couple common ways. The first one is email. And so we've seen just in the last week email claiming to be a NACHA, which is the National Associated Payments Clearinghouse. We've also seen FDIC. We've also seen Treasury. And so they're sending emails saying, Jane, this is an urgent thing for you to respond to from the Internal Revenue Service, or the FBI has a case open on you. And you click on a link, and you basically, in some cases, either get exploited or you actually download the software. In other cases, it's just you're surfing the web, your PC's out there on the internet, and they're actively trying to install malware on your PC without you doing anything.
Darn criminals.
Yep.
Really, they're very crafty. I mean, it seems as though as they create a patch or a fix to a problem or alert people to phishing emails, they morph to yet another trusted source that becomes then an untrusted source. So what's the solution?
Absolutely. And I think people who have been in the DoD for years see that, right? It is fundamentally a spy versus spy arms race. You know, our defensive radar systems are better. Their attack systems are better. Our defenses, our attacks, it goes back and forth. And I think we have to definitely admit that that's a bummer, but at the same time realize that that's the nature of criminals. And what we've seen when we look at these Zeus data theft Trojans is some financial institutions say, oh, there's no way that can happen to me. I've got two-factor authentication. I've got machine fingerprinting. I've got all these techniques. And the answer is that as we stack up those techniques, it might take the criminals 2, 3, 4, 5 years to work around them, but some smart criminal is going to do it someday. And we just have to be open to that risk. It's the world that we live in.